It's April 1885. Most Americans went to bed thankful that the Civil War was over. There has never been a more horrible, difficult war than the Civil War in which we were engaged. Americans killing Americans. Such terrible, terrible wounds, doctors taking off limbs left, right, and center. And so finally, when the war was over, America went to bed and felt a big sense of relief. In the morning, America awoke to discover that President Abraham Lincoln had been assassinated. So it opened up a lot of more wounds. On the night before December 7th, 1941, once again America went to bed, thankful that we were not in war with Germany or with Japan. But in the morning, America awoke to find out that Pearl Harbor had been attacked, and suddenly we were involved in a new war. As a result of Pearl Harbor, 3,200 soldiers were killed. On the night before September 11th, 2001, America went to bed thankful for the land of the free and the home of the brave. Shortly after awakening, we learned that their freedoms had been attacked. Terrorists had used planes as bombs to destroy the Twin Towers in New York, and a plane that damaged the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. The day shook America to the core. In fact, for the first time, the Congress stood on the steps of the White House and prayed. They didn't pray very long, and they didn't pray again, unfortunately. All of those nights brought change to our nation. We have not been the same nation since all of those issues took place. You and I are here this morning singing praises and partaking in communion because Jesus came to this earth as a little baby. He grew as a toddler, a child, a young man, and finally an adult. He walked on this earth, was seen and heard by thousands. He was crucified, and God raised him from the dead. Without the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, there would be no reason for us to be together this morning. If Jesus Christ is not who he said he was, if we do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if we do not believe that Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom for our sins and makes it possible for us to inherit eternal life, we have no reason to be here this morning. We might as well do something else. But if we believe what Jesus said, if we believe what the Bible said, then this place should be packed out. There shouldn't be room for anybody else to sit because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This Christmas season, we've looked at several things. The issues that we have talked about this throughout the month. Jesus is the Son of God. We heard the Lord God Himself say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There are about 42 statements in the New Testament indicating that Jesus is the Son of God. Then there's about 84 statements that emphasize that he's the Son of Man, double that of the Son of God. Why the Son of Man? Because Jesus wanted people to feel comfortable in coming to him. He didn't want them to see him as some kind of an individual who was so far beyond them that they could not come and share what was on their hearts and their lives. So, emphasis in the New Testament is on the Son of Man. Also, we found out that Jesus is the Savior. If he isn't, we're in deep trouble. And today we're going to look at Jesus is Lord. In other words, he's coming again. All of these issues that we have suffered through as a church and as Americans has changed our nation tremendously. Jesus came, first of all, as a baby, born in a manger, and that seems to be what we celebrate. But I have some questions about that. It's good to celebrate the fact that Jesus was a baby, and then he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. But the bigger reality is that Jesus is coming from heaven again. We don't see that in the baby. We know what the baby is all about, because that's what we celebrate every Christmas. But what we want to celebrate is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. And we better be ready for that. Because if we believe the Bible, if we believe in the little baby as the Son of God, without all of the stuff that people add to that with halos and all of that stuff. This was just a little baby, had diapers, born in a very unsanitary situation, but came through that just fine. But the point is, he's coming again. And when he comes again, folks, he's not coming as a baby. When he comes again, he's coming as the Lion of Judah. A whole different bag. And we better be ready for that. The most powerful event in human history will be when Jesus comes to this earth once again. I'm a pretty impatient person. And I kind of like that passage of Scripture says, well, everything just remains the same. When is he going to come again? And I ask myself that a lot of times. Lord, there's so much going on in this world. Why haven't you decided to come? If you talk to my wife, you'll find out that I'm a time freak. And I learned that early in life. My dad was a time freak. And when he told me to do something, I didn't mess around. I went and did it. And when I was in the military, you better pay attention to what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do it. So you really think in terms of time. The Lord doesn't think that way. The Lord is not concerned about time because he's in a timeless zone. But I keep saying, Lord, it's time for you to come again. This world is a mess, and we need you to come and straighten it out. So we have the testimony of the Bible. Here's what it says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Wow. I think you need to study that passage of Scripture because it is really delightful. And we should be looking forward to that time when the government is upon his shoulders, and it isn't yet, but that day is coming. Look at the contrasts in this Scripture. A child is born, a son is given. Those two items were fulfilled when Jesus came as a baby in Bethlehem of Judea. He was the Son of God and referred to most often as the Son of Man. And I really like that because it says that he's approachable, that we can go to him with whatever is upon our heart, whatever challenges or issues we are facing in our life. He's the Son of Man, and he wants us to be there. He wants us to go to him to take care of those situations. He was the son of Mary, a virgin. He was raised as the son of Joseph. We're talking about a 14-year-old young lady. We're talking about a guy who was maybe 20, maybe 20, maybe 19. We don't know for sure. But they were young. And boy, to think about that for just a minute. She winds up pregnant. Nobody in the community knows for sure how that happened. They made the excuse that there was the Holy Spirit came upon them, upon her, and she became pregnant by the power of God. Well, how many people would believe that? They would think that Mary and Joseph had an affair. But to believe that this was the Holy Child of God, that was another issue. So we look at that rest of the prophecy from Isaiah. The government on his shoulders. He will reign on David's throne. He will bring justice and righteousness forever. Those things did not happen when Jesus came and lived on this earth, but they are going to happen. I believe that with all my heart. Those items will happen at some time in the future when Jesus comes for the second time. And I pray every day, Lord, come. It's time. Don't you listen to me? No, I don't listen to you. I have my own schedule, and you're not going to change it. I'd like to, but he doesn't allow that. One scholar has estimated that in the Old Testament, there are 300 direct prophecies and another 1,000 references to the Messiah and his second coming. 300 specific prophecies and 1,000 that indicate that the Messiah is going to come again. 1 out of 8 of those refer to the first coming of the Messiah. The other 7 out of 8 refer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, in just the New Testament alone, there are 318 references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you believe the Bible, you better start thinking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. An amazing 1 out of every 30 verses in the New Testament. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great and marvelous and wonderful event. And we better be ready for it. We believe the evidence that Jesus Christ did come to this earth. Jesus felt hungry. He was a man. Jesus felt thirsty. He was a man. Jesus felt sleepy. Jesus was abandoned. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was tempted. He knows very well what you feel, what you experience as you go through life. If you love the one who died on the cross to save our souls, shout, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Old Testament gives us over 300 specific prophecies about the one called the Messiah. The Hebrew word for the anointed one, the Lord, the King in Greek, is Christos. And that's the way it really should be. It has been retranslated and comes to us in English as Christ. But it's really Christos. That's who he is, and that's what he will always be. In the first coming to earth, we believe Jesus fulfilled about half of the prophecies that the Old Testament talks about. Half of them. The other half are yet to be fulfilled. And just like the first half were fulfilled, the second half will be fulfilled when he comes again. Joy to the world, we sing. The Lord is to come. Amen. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Today we do not see every heart making room for the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not see everybody singing about the second coming. In fact, what we see is a lot of people saying, I'm done. Did you know that there are more women leaving the church than men? I have yet to figure that one out. But they're saying, I'm finished with this guy, Jesus. By the way, have you prepared your own heart to give Jesus first place in it? That's pretty hard for us, isn't it? We have so many issues that want our first place. We have jobs. We have finances. We have relationships. We have children. We have grandchildren. And everything is vying for first place in our lives. So it's very difficult. But the one who should take first place in everything, in all that we say, all that we think, all that we do, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we do that? The glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. We know full well that Jesus is not ruling the world right now, but it's coming. Amen, it's coming. But it will happen when our Lord comes again. All those biblical prophecies are going to be fulfilled, just like the first prophecies were fulfilled. Took a while. But they were all fulfilled. Well, we go back to the testimony of the angels. An angel appeared to Mary and told her that she would give birth to a son who would reign over the house of Jacob forever. That has not happened yet. Jesus is not reigning over the house of Jacob yet. On the night of his birth, an angel boldly proclaimed to the shepherds, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Wow. Well, there's a marvelous scripture that goes along with that. Did I miss that one? Jesus said this. He was taken up before their very eyes. Wow. That's when he took the disciples up on the mountain. And he instructed them to go forth and preach the gospel. And so he was taken up before their very eyes. And a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky. as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. They said, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven." So I guess heaven is up. I don't know for sure. "We'll come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So keep looking up. Because one day we're going to see the Son of God come. That is, if we're still alive. We may not be, but somebody will be, and they will see the Son of God coming in great glory. And then Jesus, have I got the right one? Yeah, here we go. Jesus himself said, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky." So that's why we need to look up. "And all the nations of the earth will mourn." They'll be shocked, shocked, shocked. Because most of them don't believe that Jesus is ever going to come again. "They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other." Note a couple things about this, what Jesus said. Twice he calls himself the Son of Man. Jesus referred to himself not as the Son of God, not as the King of Kings, but he referred to himself as the Son of Man. Here again, he wants us to understand that he's approachable. That shows that even though he is coming with power and great glory, he's still the Son of Man. And we will be able to consort with him and talk to him and share with him. "All the nations of the earth will mourn." They're going to be very surprised. All these people who are quitting, all the nations of the earth who don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, they're going to mourn because they're going to see the Son of God come with great and wonderful power. When Jesus comes again, the people of the nations will mourn. Why? Because they could have accepted Christ. They could have come to know the blessings of John 3:16. They could have come to know the blessing of inheriting eternal life. They could have known that, but they didn't. And so, yeah, they're going to mourn. They're going to be surprised. They're going to think, "Why didn't I accept Christ as my Savior?" Then we have the testimony of the Apostle Paul. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth." That takes several messages. "And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Look at that. Every knee will bow to Jesus. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, every knee will bow to Jesus. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What else could you do when you see him coming in great power and glory? Wow. That has not yet happened, but you can count on it. It's going to happen someday. None of us may be here. We may all be in the grave, but it's going to happen sometime. And we praise the Lord Are you excited that Jesus is coming again?
Amen.
Amen. If not, why not? The scripture is abundantly clear on that issue. Jesus came the first time to save us. Jesus is coming again. And let me tell you, he's not coming as a baby in a manger, as I've already stated. He's coming back for all of us who have received him as King and Lord of our life. Looking forward to that. We acknowledge the fact that Jesus is Lord. He's coming again, but he's coming as the judge. He's coming as the Lion of Judah. Everything will be different, but he is definitely coming again. And we praise the Lord for that. Someone has written a pretty neat little poem written by B.J. Huff. He wrote this poem. The first time he came on a starlit night in a silent hush with no fanfare. But when he comes again, the earth will shake, the stars will fall as the trumpets of heaven announce his presence. The first time he came, he was ignored and scorned, despised, rejected, and tortured. But when he comes again, all nations will gather to kneel before him, declaring his glory and singing his praises. The first time he came, he hung on a rugged cross in shame, betrayed by his own to die as a thief. But when he comes again, he will sit on his throne as the universe shouts in triumphant joy and crowns him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're searching for Jesus this morning, don't look at Jesus as a baby. I know that that's the emphasis that we make at this time of year. Don't look at the cradle. It's empty. There's nothing more in the cradle. Don't look at the cross. He's no longer there. Don't look at the tomb. It's empty. It's vacant. If you're searching for Jesus, turn your gaze upward, because we can be assured that one day Jesus will come again and he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We do not know what tomorrow will hold. Being a person who likes time, I'm trying to get over that. Gwen's dad was named George, and Gwen's mother did not understand time. And so George and I figured out that we must have waited years for those two to get on a time situation. So that's the way it is with the Lord. Time to him doesn't mean what it means to us. But he's coming again. And that's what's wonderful. Don't ignore the things that are most important, the eternal things. All of the other stuff that you're involved in means nothing. Come to Christ today, because this may be your only opportunity. If you know Jesus as Savior, make him Lord in your life today. Put him first. And I know how difficult that is, to put Jesus Christ first in everything. Our invitation hymn this morning, Worship the King. And, you know, every Lord's Day I say, if you want to If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, come forward and we'll help you get to know him. But you can do that right where you are. Confess before the Lord that you're a sinner. Ask him to come into your heart and know that at that point you are a child of God and you're a candidate for baptism. So let's be standing.